Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, we'll talk to Jody and T-Rex here in just a second, but I have to tell you about our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com. It's absolutely the best way to support this fully independent podcast. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month or as much as $15 a month. In fact, if you sign up at the $15 per month level, you'll get our Tuesday and Thursday shows presented without commercials. We take out all the commercials for you. Plus, you'll also get two post-mortem mini shows recorded after the credits on our Tuesday and Thursday podcasts. And you'll also get the subscription-only After Party podcast on Fridays with its revealing discussions about sex, drugs, rock and roll, and politics. Again, that's bobseskashow.com or click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at bobseska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Was not written for chiefs.
What you mean not written for chiefs? Of course they're written for chiefs. Well,
hear me. Hear this! Among my people, we carry many such words as this from many lands, many worlds. Many are equally good and are as well respected. But wherever we have gone, no words have said this thing of importance in quite this way. Look at these three words written larger than the rest, with a special pride never written before or since. Tall words proudly saying, "We the people." That which you called Eid Plebnista was not written for the chiefs or the kings or the warriors or the rich or the powerful, but for all the people. Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning out of the words, "We the people of the United States," in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. To ordain and establish this Constitution, these words and the words that follow were not written only for the Yangs, but for the Kongs as well.
The Kongs?
They must apply to everyone, or they mean nothing. Do you understand?
I do not fully understand.
Bob Seska!
Bob Seska. You really are sick.
The Bob Seska Show.
The guy at the end there. I do not fully understand. After all that, he still doesn't understand. Trump supporter. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, August 13, 2020, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 1,302 of the Trump crisis, 82 days until the 2020 presidential election. And let's bring in the God Ninja. It is David T-Rex Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/the T-Rex Report if you want to subscribe to David's show. Also, on Bandcamp right now, it's the brand new single from Astral Summer, David's project, his new recording duo making the rock and roll music, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Go buy it right now. You'll be glad you did. It's the song of the summer, right? Invented right here on this show. Also, Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, from-the-bunker.com. Mary Trump's favorite podcast.
Yes, she said it was her favorite. No, she does listen to it. She says she loved it, and I geeked completely out on
That's so awesome.
Yeah, Lonnie was opening up windows in the house because it was, 5:30 this morning. And I'm like, Lonnie, guess who listens to my podcast?
That's so cool. I love it. You know what it is like? You know the fact that Mary Trump listens to your podcast? That's like more mashed potatoes on Donald Trump's head.
Totally. I'm sure she listens to this one, too.
I hope she does. That would be wonderful. Hi, Mary. Hello.
Hi, Mary.
Come on my show, please.
Read your book. It's great.
Love her book.
Yeah, we were just talking before the show about one of the revelations in the book with regard to Donald Trump and mashed potatoes. Because I've taken to just trolling him about this. There's a story in the book, apparently, where someone at the dinner table when Donald Trump was a kid, when he was just a teeny tiny fascist.
His older brother.
Someone dumped mashed potatoes on his head, and he has never forgotten it. Mm-hmm. He was mortified, and he was upset, and now the world is paying. We're all paying the price for whoever dumped mashed potatoes on the president's head when he was just a mini tyrant. But yeah, so now I've been taking to trolling him about that. You know what? Cy Vance is about to dump more potatoes on your head. Look out, Biff. Good luck.
Tater head.
I've been trolling Donald Trump Jr. too. Those of you who are just joining us, I've been trolling Donald Trump Jr. with the list of non-extradition nations. Just giving him some options for where he can flee. Just get your go
they
bags
are so
ready,
freaked
Junior.
Out
yeah,
by the Kamala thing, it's just like the shockwaves. I love the smell of Republican angst in the morning.
Let's talk about that because we actually had some really good news this week. Yeah.
Yes.
That sensation you're feeling, ladies and gentlemen, that's called hope. I know it's strange. I mean, I thought, my God, am I coming down with the flu or something? What's wrong with me? Oh, I'm feeling hopeful. That's crazy.
I'm so happy. So happy.
It was so foreign. Have I been infected by some alien virus? What is this? What is this sensation I'm experiencing? And it was actual hope because I feel like, boy, it's a hell of a ticket. I really love Kamala Harris. I think she's a wonderful candidate. She's a wonderful senator, and she's kicking all kinds of ass already. I mean, the remarks that they had, both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris yesterday in their first joint appearance as running mates, it's just a wonderful, wonderful hour of remarks and, setting the tone for the campaign. And it just felt so good to just bask in that. And then, of course, the hangover came later with the slobbery Trump show. But that we'll talk about that in a little bit. But so
it's so hilarious that they don't know how to attack her.
They just
She's like a far left freakazoid, like environmental wacko,
but
she's also a cop who's going to lock up all the black men in the country on marijuana. And it's just like, you guys, your fear is showing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it means he made the right choice. He's pissing off. He does. They don't know what to do. In fact, my niece's husband.
Oops. Wait a minute.
That better.
I didn't mean for that one to go. That's the one.
There we go.
Sorry about the fart.
Basically, he posted now that he's picked her, there goes the left and the base. And then it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And, she's, prosecutorial misconduct. And it's like, defense attorneys liked her when she was a DA. So get the fuck over yourselves.
That's right.
And I said, by the way, go to progressivepunch.com and see who's more liberal for the same time period, her or Bernie Sanders. And guess who's more liberal in her votes?
Yep.
Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie's got a better record in because he's been there longer. But in the same time period, at crucial votes and regular votes, she is more progressive leaning than he is. And so when they say she's not progressive enough, that's some bullshit. But when they say she's either too far right or she's a communist. Haven't figured that out.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing Mad Libs now.
Yeah.
What they've done with Kamala Harris, the main line of attack is obviously, this is right out of the gate, racial. It's racism. That's what they went to. Fox News went right there. I mean, it's like they took the bait right away. They couldn't help themselves. They had to go full racist right out of the chute. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're doing. And the way they're doing it, though, is Mad Libs of what they intended to do to Elizabeth Warren if she had received the nomination for to be Joe Biden's running mate. And so they're taking the Pocahontas attack and replacing out all the proper nouns and putting in Kamala Harris, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, she's not a real, she doesn't really have Native American DNA in her. Oh, she should take a DNA test, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So now they're doing the same thing with Kamala Harris. In fact, it's kind of a combination of the Pocahontas attack and like a reverse birtherism thing. Remember, with Barack Obama was secretly African, right? Secretly Kenyan. Right. Now they're saying Kamala Harris is secretly not African, which is
she's either too black or not black enough. She's either born in this country or she's born in Oakland,
that's
bitches,
not
so
really
fuck
for
you.
White people to arbitrate.
It's not.
Whether or not someone is black enough. Right. I don't think that's Fox News' job. They're a little out of their wheelhouse there.
Yeah.
Part of what scares them so much, I think, is that she is so poised.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, just cool under fire. And God, when she chewed up that DHS guy.
Yeah.
I strongly advise you to, it's just,
and boy, she had Bill Barr flustered in that Q&A where he just, usually he's the smooth operator. He's the Dick Cheney guy who's just like, well, I'm grappling with what you mean by requested. I don't know what that even, what is that word? I don't know. And everyone goes, yeah, oh, he's so sane and reasonable. Oh, look at Bill Barr go.
Well, and then she said, it's just a yes or no question, sir.
So great.
Yes or no? I mean, it's really simple.
So great. And they're already lowering expectations for the debate. They're already saying, oh, Mike Pence. Well, Mike Pence isn't much of a debater, you know. So they're trying desperately to play into the expectations.
He is kind of a department store mannequin. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Really, you could trade him out for any underwear ad from the Sears circular.
Speaking of Mike Pence, one of the things they said about Kamala Harris yesterday was that her voice sounds like Marge Simpson. And I forget who exactly it was who said that. What? It was going all over Twitter yesterday. Oh, Kamala Harris sounds like Marge Simpson. I was like, you know what? I don't know what Mike Pence's voice sounds like because his face is constantly wedged between Donald Trump's ass cheeks. Who knows what the hell he sounds like? But this is the attack that she's not really African. She's Jamaican and she's just pretending to be. See? Phony Kamala. Phony Kamala. That's the whole thing. That's all they've got left. The fact of the matter is that Kamala Harris's dad. Yeah, Kamala Harris's dad is ethnically Jamaican, but his ancestry is, of course, African because the brown people who showed up in Jamaica were dragged there by slave traders, and then they were emancipated in 1834. But they still, there are black people in Jamaica who came there from Africa. That's where she is descended from. Kamala Harris's dad is descended from a slave owner and a slave, if you go back far enough. And that's the history. But, technically Jamaican. I mean, they really are really, really, really pandering to the numbskulls and dipshits in their crowd.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah. But I'm placing my bets now. Donald Trump, within the next maybe couple of weeks, I don't know, certainly before the election, Donald Trump at some point will start calling for Kamala Harris to take a DNA test. And she cannot take the bait. She should never even bother to go there. But that is going to happen. At some point, there's going to be, when is Kamala Harris going to take the DNA test? What is she avoiding? What is she afraid of? What does she think the DNA test will prove? And that's going to be the attack.
It'll be hilarious.
So will the attack be from the left?
No, I think it'll be from the Republicans. I mean, the Republicans and Trump will say, you know, she needs to take a DNA test to prove that she's really African. Or part
hilarious is if they did the 23andMe thing a couple of years ago for Christmas for the holidays.
We're all African.
And like, well, actually, here's the chart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys know I'm half Italian, as are, of course, my brothers. I have two younger brothers. My second youngest brother took one of those 23andMe DNA tests, and it came back showing no Italian. That he's not, that he's got no Italian DNA, apparently, which has to be a mistake because our dad is a full-blooded Italian. And so, you know, these things happen. So I can only imagine if she were to make the same mistake Elizabeth Warren made, which is to take the DNA test and release the results publicly. God, avoid. Do not take the bait on all of that. But meanwhile, while they're saying that Kamala Harris is secretly not African, the mayor of Luray, Virginia, where the Luray Caverns are, called Kamala Harris Aunt Jemima. on his...
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. So either she's black or not black, but I think what they're doing is they're just going with both. Fuck it. Fuck it. You know what? We're desperate. We're going to go with, well, Kamala Harris isn't really black. Oh, and by the way, Kamala Harris, so totally black. Barry Pressgraves is his name. Barry Pressgraves is facing calls to resign for a Facebook post saying Joe Biden just announced Aunt Jemima as his VP pick. And then he said, I don't even depict that as racist. I ate Aunt Jemima all my life.
Oh, well, for fuck's sake. Listen up, you fucking maggot.
Yep, it is.
Yeah, bitch, we are coming for you people on November 3rd, okay? So don't get comfortable in your mayoral chair, buddy.
Yeah.
We are coming for your ass. I'm going to wear your ears as a necklace.
Oh, man. So Jennifer Rubin, I thought, had a great idea. Kamala Harris should do a press conference every day at the same time as Trump show.
I'd pay a dollar for that.
And just rip him apart during it. Maybe do what Hal Sparks does. Do like a live video with the Trump show in the background and Kamala Harris just starting and pausing it to comment on what Trump is saying. That would be wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. So many options, so many possibilities for this campaign. Here was maybe the weirdest thing from yesterday. This is kind of alarming. This came from Fox News Channel and drunken Jeanine Pirro. Jeanine Pirro yesterday on the air while chatting with a-hole Jesse Waters, punch me face Jesse Waters. She predicted Joe Biden might not make it to the election.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. The first thought that I have, Jesse, is for some reason, I just have this feeling that Joe Biden isn't going to be on the ticket. I have a sense that something's going to happen before the election, and he's not even going to be on the ticket. So don't even ask me if he's going to make the 4 years.
Well, what the hell does that mean? Does that mean he's going to be indicted? Does that mean he's going to die? I mean, is she predicting that Joe Biden is so feeble that he's just going to pass away? He's just going to croak between now and Election Day. Is that what she's saying or what? I mean, because there is the outstanding issue of the John Durham, whatever they're calling it, Obamagate, Obama spied on my campaign nonsense. And we're all thinking that maybe that's going to be some kind of October surprise, either an actual indictment or some sort of like Bill Barr style letter that goes out that has the patina of criminality, but not really, but just enough for the idiots and mouth breathers and red hats to think, oh, my God, there it is. Joe Biden spied on Donald Trump.
You're getting a little, you're spooking yourself here, Seska.
You think so?
Just Jeanine, didn't she just get popped for doing like 210 miles an hour in a 55 zone or something? Her intuition doesn't count for shit. She can't spot a cop anyway. Like, I just
well, I mean, irrespective of what Jeanine Pirro said, I mean, this has been a common rumor that's been going around with regard to Bill Barr and this Durham investigation into the Obama administration, which, by the way, just like to add this as a matter of tradition, that what Donald Trump has done, he's opened the gate for one presidential administration to investigate the previous presidential administration. Up until Donald Trump, that did not exist, that possibility. Now it's a real possibility. So that means if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris win in November, sure, why not? Let's investigate Donald Trump. Let's investigate everything. The Glenn Kirshner's idea for a Trump Crimes Commission has to happen. It has to happen. It's got to be mandatory. This is something that is required to occur because the seriousness of what we're faced right now, obviously we're feeling good about the Democratic ticket and so on and the possibilities that are there. But at the same time, we have to maintain some, well, at least one foot in the realm of, oh, God, this is a fascist tyrant and he's trying to steal the election. I mean, he is literally trying to steal the election. He admitted today that he is trying to defund the post office to keep money from going to the postal service in order to stop the absentee ballots from being delivered. They've already stopped using the automated sorting machines. They've increased the price of postage for the states from the bulk rate to something like 55 cents per piece. They're obviously eliminating overtime so that it's taking longer for mail to get where it needs to go. Right. It's death by a thousand cuts. They're going to keep going there and keep going there. Here's Donald Trump I believe this was with Maria Bartiromo talking about how
I'm sorry. She's inherently comic to me.
Yeah.
Maria Bartiromo, just you say her name and I begin to giggle. It just.
That's right. But man, was she heroic in the attack on the Death Star in Return of the Jedi as Lando's co-pilot. Here's a high-pitched Biff talking about how he wants to defund the post office.
Now, they need that money in order to have the post office work so it can take all of these millions and millions of ballots. Now, in the meantime, they aren't getting there. By the way, those are just two items. But if they don't get those two items, that means you can't have universal mail-in voting.
There it is.
Yeah, he's right. He just said he said it out.
I just see him in his khakis at prep school, just little pear-shaped dumpling of a creepy little. I just cracked me up. I can see the bullets of sweat on his little upper lip.
Yeah, yeah. Like, by the way, that was over the telephone.
Two things that you need to fulfill.
If they don't get those two things, then they're going to do it.
And as I said yesterday in homeroom.
It's just staggering. He said, now they need that money in order to make the post office work so it can take all of these millions and millions of ballots. But if they don't get those two items, that means you can't have universal mail-in voting.
I think he's exaggerating the amount of control he has over the situation. I just don't, you know, like...
No,
the post-
it's working,
the-
though, David.
It's working.
I mean, it's working. And my problem that I'm... Because California doesn't start sending out the ballots to us until October 5th.
Yeah.
If I don't get my ballot by October 20th, mm-hmm. I'm voting in person.
Kimberly and I have already decided here in Maryland, where there's also universal absentee balloting, mm-hmm. we're going to drop off our ballots. We're going to go to one of the drop boxes and put our ballots in
that. That's assuming you get your ballot.
That is true. I mean, we have to...
Because they're slowing things down on both ends. They're going to slow things down on people getting their ballots, which is happening, and they're going to slow ballots being brought in.
Jesus Christ.
If I don't have my ballot by October 20th, I'm voting early and in person to make sure that I can vote.
Yeah.
And then if I get my ballot, I'm not going to obviously mail it in because I've already voted, but... I'm not taking any chances.
Yeah. It's just amazing. This in and of itself.
We have two N95 masks left still in their wrappers, and those are for if we have to go vote in person.
Those are your emergency masks for voting. Yep. Yeah, good for you. Good idea.
Yeah,
That's smart.
We've got them here, and we actually just got a UVC light room sanitizer too.
Oh, do you have the Clean Phone Pro, is it?
I do. No, it didn't. They don't sell them at the Clean Phone Pro, but the only reason I got one was because I went to my dentist's office the other day.
Uh-huh.
And he had HEPA UV filters in every room.
Oh, great.
And if a doctor is doing that, I'm like, okay, then these things work. And then I looked up the frequency of the UVC light, and if that is the medical grade frequency, and this one thing that I bought does have that. So that cleans the room, cleans my clothes, cleans my body, cleans everything.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm just going to start showering in one of those from now on.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
The medical grade ones are, you know, this is just for a small room. I mean, hospitals have them now, and people, I think that grocery stores are going to start installing them, and you know they're expensive, but if it helps to kill viral loads and bacterial loads, whether it be this or the flu or anything else, that's going to help everybody.
Yeah Well, look,
you know, cases are exploding in my area. But last night at the grocery store, there was like six dudes, looked like fraternity guys, none of them wearing masks, all of them in a big clot in the middle of the aisle. And I kept like coming down, and there they were again. So I had to turn around and back out and come the other, because it was just like, I wasn't going to walk through that cloud.
Yeah.
And then I went to go pick up a prescription this morning, and there's these old dudes at the drugstore, like five of them. You know, the old guys with the polyester shorts and the department store polo shirts that are all Republicans and, red-faced, and none of them had a mask on.
I keep saying this, but it bears repeating. It just feels like there's a certain demographic in this country. Let's just call it the red hat demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it's got to come down to just pain or death to get them to stop doing what they're doing. I mean, I'm talking about self-inflicted. I'm talking about where at some point, their dumb fuckery comes back to haunt them. It's like a child who keeps touching the red hot stove. You have to be burned before you realize, oh shit, I shouldn't be touching the red hot stove. You know what I mean? And so I feel like either it's got to come down to just some sort of self-defeating, the dumb fuckery coming back to haunt them in some way, or they just continue to grow and flourish and occupy our government, which is where we kind of are right now. And we're seeing how they're going to be able to maintain power by just, you know, gratuitously pulling all the levers that they can get their stubby little fingers on. And that's what Donald Trump is doing with the Postal Service. He's obstructing the Postal Service. You know, one of the things that someone needs to ask him during the slobbery Trump shows every afternoon, he's doing another one at 5:30 today. God help me. Someone needs to ask.
He hasn't figured out that keeping his mouth shut will help his poll numbers.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Like he keeps chopping away.
Oh, yeah. I think, I mean,
keep fucking that chicken, Mr. President.
Exactly. You know, I'm totally with Tom Nichols now. I think they need to show these Trump shows now across all the networks. I think they really, because I think it's working against him. I don't think it's helping him at all, because I think that the word is going to continue to get out that he is just out to lunch, because it's constant drooling, constantly. I mean, there's a clip going around from the recount in which someone took separate items from his Trump shows and synchronized them to show that he says the same shit every single goddamn night. Mm-hmm. But someone needs to ask him during the Trump show, maybe today, why the hell is it that the Postal Service is required to make money while no other federal agencies are? I mean, does anyone complain about, oh, the IRS, man, they're, oh, shit, look at all the money they're losing. It's a government agency, for fuck's sake. Since when is any government agency? I mean, none of these things are required to make a profit. That's why they're government and not a goddamn business. It's one of the many reasons why government is not the same as a business, by the way. Yeah. Well,
and the Postal Service, A, is a service, too, has never taken taxpayer dollars. It's fully funded by people using the service.
Yeah.
So to give it a little bit of some help right now that it desperately needs, plus it has to pre-fund 75 years of its pension to people that may or may not work for them ever that haven't been born.
Yeah.
That's insanity. Yeah. That was put into I mean, it's in the Constitution.
Thank you, Ben Franklin. Yep.
It's a requirement in the Constitution that it be funded, but it's funded by us. I buy stamps. I mean, I just bought a bunch of supplies I didn't even need to try to help.
Well, this is where Republican messaging actually ends up working. Because the idea has flooded into the mainstream that, oh, yeah, you know what, Postal Service, how many billions of dollars do they lose every year because of the funding of the pensions and the blah, blah, blah? But who the fuck cares? I mean, who is ever talking about that? Donald Trump has racked up a $3.7 trillion federal budget deficit for 2020, and it's only going to get worse by the time the year is over. I mean, this is what we're looking at as far as federal spending goes. And on top of that, Donald Trump
loses less money than the first lady spends flying to New York to get her hair done.
Yes. You know, I mean, just like the Postal Service, based on people using the Postal Service alone, you take out some of the statutory things like that. The 2006 law requires, as you were talking about, Jody, with the pensions and the health care for retired Postal Service workers. You take that aside, the actual postage, the people buying things to ship things, that has actually been increasing in revenue every year since 2012. The Postal Service as an entity, and see here, I'm playing into it. It shouldn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is a public service provided by the federal government, and we shouldn't be asking this. No one goes around, no one's pestering Ben Carson to ask him, why has HUD not been making all the money? Why is HUD losing so much money? No one's asking that. It's absolute. Now, well, why is the national parks losing all their money? I mean, my God, when are they going to start making a profit with those national parks? It's just absolute fucking insanity. This is the tyranny. This is the dictatorship we're dealing with. Donald Trump is refusing to leave office, and he's sabotaging a public service in order to get there. And that's one of many things he's doing in order to get there. I think sometimes we operate in this comfort zone of, well, it can't happen here. Well, here it's happening.
So I gave up on that a long time ago.
Yeah. But I mean, here it is. Here it is. Fascist tyranny in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And unless something happens with this election, it is going to metastasize. We talked about this yesterday. I had Dr. Rachel Bitticoffer on the show yesterday, and this is a point of discussion. As you know, there's a new third party group that's forming by someone we kind of used to know. And that group is gearing up for, this is part of the mission statement, for the elections of 2022 and the 2024 general elections. Provided we actually have elections by then.
Exactly.
Good God. Talk about putting the cart before the horse. We're in a point of time right now where unless we all do our patriotic duty to stop this tyrant, there will be no more free elections. I mean, we barely have a free election this year because of his meddling. It's just staggering. Nancy Pelosi and 174 House Democrats, meanwhile, signed a letter demanding that the USPS reverse operational changes made by Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, arguing that the changes will hamper mail-in voting on Election Day. It's absentee voting! Please call it absentee voting, because that's what it is. Quote, the House is seriously concerned that you are implementing policies that accelerate the crisis at the Postal Service. The crisis at the... Oh, God damn it. The crisis at the Postal Service... Why
it's
are
completely
Pelosi
inflicted by Republicans?
But like there is no, there is.
So we're going to have a 100-yard dash, but first, post office, we're going to break your kneecaps and then turn on the cameras. You know, and like, look at that; he could barely run.
Yeah,
because he's, you know, we got to replace it. It just
the crisis at the Postal Service is entirely fiscal. This is fixed 100% fixed. By Congress simply appropriating money like they do every goddamn year with the NDAAs and all of the omnibus spending bills. You insert whatever it is, $25 billion to make sure that the Postal Service can keep paying pensions and health care and let them have the fucking money. We do this with all of the other government agencies. We're not sitting around. Well, I guess Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is trying to disintegrate government right before our eyes. And this is part of the Steve Bannon mandate. This is something the Republicans have wanted to do for years and years and years. And now this guy is just taking a sledgehammer to the whole thing. And I don't think he even realizes what exactly it is he's doing. I don't think he has any concept of that other than...
No, a bag of contaminated medical waste is more self-aware than Donald Trump.
That is true. Just, yeah.
He's a fucking boil on the taint of humanity. And he needs to be lanced.
That might be the most disgusting one you've ever coined, David.
Anytime. Thank you.
Yes. That one, I don't even know if I can use that as the title of the show.
Jody's gone completely silent.
Yeah. I don't know.
She's just groping for another tab and praying for it to be over.
No, there's no tab. There's a tab shortage. They haven't made tab in months. I'm going crazy. I've been drinking Coke Zero.
Oh, really?
Do you need
there's
me to
a
grab
tab?
You some tab and send it?
No, there's no tab anywhere. A friend of mine in Florida, he's like, are you not finding tab either? I said, no, I'm not. I even tweeted at Coca-Cola. I'm like, bring me back my tab.
Wow.
Bless your heart.
That is absolutely
I only
crisis.
Have one tab in the house. It's for a special occasion, and I might drink it on November 4th because we got the election in hand or something. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I have one tab left. I have tweeted at Coca-Cola. They tweeted back at me going, we're working on it. Yeah, not fast enough.
Donald Trump is sabotaging the production of tab.
He is. It's all on him. It's because of this fucking pandemic. And I blame Trump for me not having... My friend just emailed me again the other day. He goes, I'm getting very concerned.
So here's the deal. We're all doing all of these Zoom meetings and FaceTime meetings now while we're still socially distancing and doing the right goddamn thing. But we don't always look our best when it's time to turn on the cameras, right? Well, you know what you got to do? You got to get yourself some Photoshop in a can. And of course, I'm talking about Plexiderm here. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags, all in the comfort of your own home in just a matter of minutes. Plexiderm goes on clear and lasts for hours, so nobody's going to know your secret. Go to tryplexiderm.com and use my code VOICES for half off a full-size bottle of Plexiderm, plus an additional $10 off. Or try a $14.95 trial pack today by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mention the code VOICES. Again, visit triplexiderm.com. Use the code VOICES for half off a full-size bottle plus an extra $10 off. Or try a $14.95 trial pack when you use the code VOICES at triplexiderm.com. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show. Still seen again.
This is a recording artist Jason Roach. A song called Stain. Link in the description.
Really
reminds
good
me
vocal sound on that.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Jeff Buckley. That is not exactly the same as far as the vocals go, but similar. I think musically similar to this would totally be a Jeff Buckley song, I think. Link in the description at BobSeska.com to support Jason Roach and all of our indie bands here on the show. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit your songs to be included here on the podcast. Thank you for doing that in advance. Okay, moving along here. A former top official at the USPS warned that recent operational changes by Postmaster General Louis DeJoy could, quote-unquote, disenfranchise voters. Yeah, really, you think? Ronald Stroman, who stepped down earlier this year as the second in command at the USPS, said the changes being implemented just months ahead of an election in which a record number of Americans are expected to vote by mail is a high-risk proposition. And that's the insane thing about this, too, is the fact that, yeah, we're in the middle of a goddamn pandemic and Donald Trump is forcing people to vote in person where they can get the virus. You know, and we're already looking at the very real possibility of a resurgence, as if we're not already in one, but another surge in the virus in the fall. That's what, what's his name, the head of the CDC, Robert Redford. It's Robert Redfield.
Not Redford, no. I would love Robert Redford to be somewhere in somebody's administration just because he's Robert Redford, but
yes.
No.
Well, the CDC director, Robert Redfield, said that in the fall there's going to be another huge crisis with this. It's going to be a health crisis is what he called
they're
it.
They're just driving the kids back into school. I mean, there's like 1,000 people in quarantine associated
in
with
Georgia,
one
yeah.
high school outside of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Yep, yep. And he said...
It's just completely predictable outcome that they just are like, we don't care.
Well, the New York Times is reporting today that it's actually more like 200,000 Americans have likely died from COVID.
Oh,
I've actually looked at the numbers because we're right in the middle of a period of time in which hospitals are no longer reporting to the CDC. They're reporting directly to the White House, which is just absolute. I mean, obviously, the numbers are being tampered with. I think the numbers are being tampered with when it comes to unemployment. I think the Bureau of Labor and Statistics has been infiltrated by Trump loyalists. I mean, we've been hearing about this for months now, that Donald Trump is purging the government of anyone who is disloyal to him. Anyone who voted for Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama is being purged from the federal government. This way, Donald Trump can get all of his cult-like minion to do exactly what they are required to do, what he wants them to be doing. And it sometimes doesn't even require him to say it. He doesn't have to go to them and say, hey, listen, if you want to keep your job, you got to do this. Or, I know you love me so much, why don't you help me out by doing X, Y, and Z? He doesn't even need to do that, because as long as he's got the red hats there, they're going to act in accordance in this environment of propping up Donald Trump. They're going to act in accordance with their fandom of the president. So it's very easy for members of some of these federal agencies, like Louis DeJoy, to go screwing around. And did you notice yesterday during the Trump show, Donald Trump has brought in this guy, Steve Atlas? He's like, and by the way, you know why?
In just 7 days.
You know why he brought in? You know why he brought in Steve Atlas? I'm sure it's because the name Atlas sounds like it's from Central Casting. That's why.
Yep, exactly.
Like, I love this guy, Steve Atlas. Sounds like a superhero. Sounds like from Central Casting. I love this guy. And that's why he was hired. But he's now kind of replaced Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci as being Trump's right-hand man. And you know where Donald Trump really saw Steve Atlas, who's his new COVID advisor, his new China virus advisor? Mm-hmm. He found him on Fox News Channel. Steve Atlas is a Fox News commentator. And so,
yes, of course.
So Trump has brought him into the White House to advise him on the China virus.
Well, you know, he's skipping the daily briefings from now on. Have you heard this, right? Like, Trump has announced that he's not going to read the PDB anymore. Not that he was reading it before, but, I mean, he's not even going to look at the pictures.
Really? I think he was very seldom. Wasn't he only reading it maybe once a week or something like that, or once a month or something? Very seldom was he actually looking at his PDBs. So now he's announced. When did he announce that? When did that came down?
I saw it on Twitter yesterday. Now I'm going to have to look it up. But
yeah,
Yeah, I just, it's appalling how small his world is.
Yeah.
To be the president of the fucking United States, and he really can, you know, man, woman, camera, TV, it's just like, you're just naming things in the room.
Well, that's president. One of the things, Chris Lavoie had a great observation when the name Kamala Harris was announced for Biden's running mate. And Trump, right out of the chute, was like, oh, she's such a vicious woman. She was so disrespectful. She's so disrespectful to Sleepy Joe. No one's disrespectful to Sleepy Joe the way Kamala Harris was disrespectful. It's that line of attack. Well, you know what? That means Joe Biden is a much bigger man than Donald Trump will ever be. Because he's chosen someone who is critical of him to be his right-hand person, to be his running mate. Donald Trump would have fired and attacked and all the rest of it, smeared and shamed and ridiculed anyone who called him out on race. And he's done it. I mean, he's done it on many occasions. He's fired his own people for much less than what Kamala Harris said to Joe Biden. So he is a small, small man. Joe Biden is a big man who has self-confidence and who is an actual American leader, unlike Donald Trump, who just does nothing. He can't even lead himself, for God's sake. It looks like a goddamn mess. But going back to the Social Security issue and what happened at the Trump show yesterday, he said, once again, yesterday on television, to reporters, we all watched it, he said, we'll be terminating the payroll tax after I get elected. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the announcement. He is defunding fully Social Security and Medicare. Yep. And then he says he plans to get Congress to pass a law to finance Social Security from the general fund and then make up the massive deficit that's going to create with economic growth. Because as you know, the trickle down always works, doesn't it? It's like foolproof. It's like trickle down. Yes, of course, trickle down's always going to work. It's an absolute fucking nonsense. There is no way that Congress is going to pass a law saying take the money for Social Security out of the general fund, take the money for Medicare out of the general fund. You know what kind of deficit that's going to create? Mm-hmm. So financing Social Security alone out of the general fund is going to cost at least $1 trillion a year. At least $1 trillion a year. Right now, as I said before, we have a $3.7 trillion federal budget deficit for 2020. That's the CBO estimate. It's probably going to be higher than that, given where we are at this point. And just this no end in sight extended pandemic because of the fuckwad in the White House. So you add $1 trillion a year on top of that. God only knows. I mean, what that is going to result in is not the financing of Social Security. What that's going to result in is massive cuts to Social Security. As soon as the Republicans see the federal budget deficit, that's when they get a conscience and go, oh, my God, we have to cut spending now. Let's cut it from Social Security. Throw grandma off the cliff. Doesn't matter. The other thing that's amazing about this, and if I'm repeating myself, forgive me, but these are all crucial, crucial topics to discuss here. But the amazing thing is that we're now, how many days did I say we are until Election Day? 82, 83,
something like that.
Something like that. 82 days. Donald Trump, with 82 days to go, is legitimately talking about defunding Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah, it's not smart.
I mean, from a political point of view alone, Trump always makes things worse for Trump. That is absolute unpasteurized dumbness. I cannot believe he's actually got the balls to do something like that. And we always say that, right? I can't believe, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing that. And that's after we say, oh, he'll never do that. we always say, oh, that's too crazy. He'll never touch Social Security. Oh my God, I can't believe he's meddling with Social, he's going to defund Social Security? Here we are.
Well, it's so stupid because many of his voters are collecting Social Security and are on Medicare.
Yeah.
And if he says it's going to go away January, I don't see them supporting that plan, well, as long as they know about it.
He's flailing. I mean, he really is a child. He has no concept of strategy. His only maneuver is attack, attack, attack.
Yeah.
And he just, like, he's flailing. And no, it's not a political winner, but he's just grabbing at anything he can right now. He's like a, you know, grabby baby.
Well, yeah, and going back to what Jody was saying, the people who vote or are going to vote for Donald Trump, they don't know that this is what he's trying to do. as far as they're concerned, oh yeah, general fund. It's going to take care of the general fund. It's going to be fine. And we're going to be fine. And that's if they're even hearing that this is something that he plans to do. Because I get the sense that Fox News Channel might not even broadcast all of his blurts about Social Security and the payroll tax. I just get the sense that that is something that is not getting through to the Fox News Breitbart crowd. They're not even considering that as a possibility. So they're going to be blindsided. Everyone's going to be blindsided by this. I mean, we seriously need an alternative solution to the 25th Amendment. We need some other alternative to impeachment, because this president is untenable for a democratic republic. We cannot continue down this path with this guy, or else our form of government, our form of representative democracy is going to disappear.
Well, the OLC's memo needs to just go away.
Yeah,
about presidents not being able to be indicted, or and then Bill Barr extending that to say not even allowed to be investigated. That's utter insanity, and that started with Nixon, and it continued because of Clinton. And I understand them wanting that to be the case, but no, we need to codify in law, and then put it in the Constitution if we can. That presidents are not above the law. They can be investigated and indicted while sitting in office. They have lawyers. They can hire lawyers.
Yep.
Who cares? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many things. You just add that to the list of reforms that need to occur after this guy is out. Hopefully he will be out. He also said yesterday during the Trump show, the Democrats didn't want to do a payroll tax. He doesn't know what he's talking about. The Democrats The Democrats are
big
all
crayons.
About the payroll
it's the
tax.
Big crayons talking.
Just the big crayons. Exactly right. I love
it was
that.
Really like bad, good, fire, bad. Ah.
Exactly.
Let me refer back to our host's first great cartoon.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I was just ripping off Phil Hartman with that. That was all Phil Hartman as Frankenstein. True. That's true.
Can we talk about Herman Cain's Twitter account still?
I know. What
why
is that?
That's so strange.
Dead.
Yeah, I think Herman Cain fired off a bunch of robo posts, robo tweets before he died. Because
it's so creepy. And
it's
bizarre.
So weird.
It's really bizarre. It's wrong.
Yeah. Well, it says here under the Cain Gang account, which is actually the Herman Cain with the blue check and everything. It's a just in case you thought Biden's candidacy was going to be anything other than completely nuts, Team Trump has released a new video. Hashtag Joe Biden, hashtag Kamala Harris, HermanCain.com, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's weird. That doesn't even sound like
He's
a robo tweet.
He's
that,
been dead for weeks.
Yes. That is something that was tweeted live by someone, possibly. Possibly the ghost of Herman Cain.
That's some fucking Wi-Fi right there.
Yeah. Holy shit, man. He got one of those signal boosters or something to make sure that this went out. But yeah, this is specific to Kamala Harris and everything like that. It's insane. Tweeting from beyond the grave. So bizarre. But yeah. Kanye West, meanwhile, and Jared Kushner have spoken almost daily, they say. And here's kind of how that conversation goes. Kanye West calls up Jared Kushner. Hi, Jared. And then Jared goes, hi, Kanye. Basically, that's my dramatic reenactment of a Jared Kushner, Kanye West conversation. It's basically just them saying back and forth to each other because they're both fucking idiots who are just enabling a fascist tyrant, fascist sympathizers, all of them. And I've been using that phrase quite often, and it applies. I think it absolutely applies, because we need to start to take the fascism and the tyranny more seriously than we are. And no matter how serious you think you're taking it, I don't think you're taking it serious enough, because this is an existential crisis for the United States of America. That's what we're in. You know, we started out so hopeful. It just occurred to me. This show started out, oh my God, this is so wonderful. And I was playing the Beethoven music, and it was like,
Can we take a moment to enjoy Alex Jones's the complete indifference shown to him by those teenagers in that video? Have you seen it?
Alex Jones.
I don't even know the play. I can't. His voice just like I can only watch the seconds of the video at a time. But I had to watch it because my brother's ex-girlfriend's daughter is the one who gives the camera crew the finger.
Well, it's another stunt where he went out to, what was it, some sort of state park where they're actually, I think, taking reservations to visit the park so they maintain social distancing. And that was the plan. And so Alex Jones must have heard about that and went out to the park and was just going around to the different... I mean, there's just a bunch of teenagers sitting around in lawn chairs like, let me talk to you about the globalists. Yeah, are you aware that
you are enabling
a,
the criminal takeover?
It's a satanic power grab is what you're doing right now. You're wearing masks and requiring people to make reservations to come here. Because Alex Jones now, due to the copious number of lawsuits, Alex Jones probably living in the back of a Waffle House or something. You know, just
he's so covered in fluff sweat, and it's like a cheap toy megaphone that you get at Toys R Us.
Yeah, right.
He's yelling through. It's just ridiculous. It's pathetic. You can actually see his liver trying to escape his body in the video. I mean, it's just.
Oh man, powered by crystal meth. That show right there. Actually, I don't know if it's crystal meth. I think from what I've read, it's like cocaine and vodka. There's a combination for you.
That's a great idea.
Breakfast of Champions. Cocaine and vodka.
Wake up, go to sleep. Wake up, go to sleep. Wake yeah, up, go
exactly.
to sleep.
Oh, man.
No, that's so, the problem is they never quite go to sleep. They just become rocket-propelled stupid.
On that note, we have to take one more break to talk about thenewdealshop.com, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, COVID-19 infection rates are exploding across the nation. We know it's common sense that everyone wear a face mask. And finally, most states have put mask mandates in place. Face masks are still our best way to protect ourselves, our family, and our community. But what happens when the mask you thought you were buying is fraudulent or even worthless? The FDA has provided a list of authorized respirator mask manufacturers. Finding those masks has been a challenge, and verifying their authenticity is even harder. Right now, thenewdealshop.com has FDA-authorized respirator masks with anti-fake authentication on every package to ensure you're getting exactly what you need. These masks are tested by the NPPTL in the United States and provide greater than 95% filtration. Right now, these masks are in stock and ready to ship for free for my listeners when you add the code SEXYLIBERAL at thenewdealshop.com. Again, go to thenewdealshop.com and order your supply today. That's thenewdealshop.com. Get them and keep yourself, your family, and your community safe. Thank you.
Bob Seska.
Yeah, this is a great Michael McDermott. The song called Mother Emmanuel off his brand new album, What in the World? Go get it now. Link in the description of BobSeska.com. It's the must-buy album of the summer, I think. Again, it's called What in the World. That's the name of the album. Michael McDermott, one of her faves here on the show. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit. God, I love that song. Okay, here's... get a load of this. In the middle of a national crisis, Trump has decided that, oh, we have to adjust the definition of the word showerhead.
God, he's a fucking obsessed with the fucking bathroom.
Yeah, well, if you've got 9-foot long hair, yeah, I guess you would be. Because he's got to wash all of the gunk out of his hair at least once a day. Or I don't know if it's, is it once a day? But do you think he washes his hair like once a week and then just goes to bed with like a hairnet, goes in the
he
shower?
He might go to bed with hair, because you know he's using a lot of Aquanet.
Yes. Oh, my
just
God.
Just to keep it in place.
Yeah.
You know?
Like those greasy-looking swoops on the side are just like cement. And then the hair that's swirled around on the top has got to be like 9 feet long. I mean, we've seen photos of the stray hairs like dangling out, and they're long as fucking hell.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. And so apparently he's got to... got to clean these hairs on a regular basis, what he's got left. And he claims that he's not getting wet enough in the shower. So Donald Trump is muscling the entire federal government of the United States into changing the definition of showerhead so that they can make showerheads that have more water pressure. So Donald Trump can take a fucking shower. That is, I mean, this preening goddamn diva I mean, this is amazing. That
his fans all paint him up like he's this big macho man.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. He's this tiny footed, prissy, vain Popinjay. Like, I just, ugh.
Well said. Popinjay. That's great. The entire federal government is being guided in a direction in order to appease Donald Trump's vanity and his shower habits. You talk about small government,
it's so
right?
Banana Republic. It's just at this point, it's so backward. It's just it's like we are the child emperor has spoken and dragons are now illegal in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just
This is the actual lead from the Associated Press. The Trump administration wants to change the definition of a showerhead to let more water flow, addressing a pet peeve of the president who complains he isn't getting wet enough. Publicly talking about the need to keep his hair perfect, in quotes, President Donald Trump has made increasing water flow and dialing back long-held appliance conservation standards, from light bulbs to toilets to dishwashers, a personal issue. Mm-hmm. But consumer and conservation groups said the Department of Energy's proposed loosening of a 28-year energy law that includes appliance standards is silly, unnecessary, and wasteful, especially as the West bakes through a historic two-decade-long mega drought. Right? Well, he doesn't give a shit about that. I mean, what's funny to me when he talks about this shit is he very seldom goes to, I can't get my hair clean, and you know my beautiful hair. And he goes there a little bit, but the main thing he's always talking about is how you have to flush 28 times in order to get right. rid of your poop in the toilet.
I don't know what kind of toilet he's going to.
I don't
to,
know. But... he's just got a lot of shit. That's probably
well,
what
yeah,
it is.
Well, yeah, he's full of that. We know that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the poor White House porter who has to launder Donald Trump's shorts? Especially after a Trump show. But at the same time, he's also talking about how people have to wash their dishes like 100 times.
I think you have to keep pressing the dishwasher so you get the water. I mean, it's like, dude,
the fucker's
seriously.
Never washed a dish in his life.
No, he says the people that do the dishwashing.
Yeah. Right.
So those obviously he's never people. Worked a machine, let alone wash dishes on his own. But I mean, it was how he worded it was so like the people that wash the dishes, they have to keep pressing the button.
And he then gestures with the pressing of the button. He does the repeated, this is what it's like. Did it again. Here's number 9.
I just hit my threshold here, I guess.
Yes. Well, we have to, man. We have to laugh.
We'll cry.
To keep from screaming in our hearts.
Yeah. People have to flush the toilet. People have to,
exactly.
15 times.
There's not enough big water coming out. He wouldn't even know a dishwasher if it came up, if he actually fell inside one. He would have like,
you're absolutely right.
Where am I? I'm in this tiny box that has water in it and dishes. I don't know where I am. I don't know what this is. What is this machine? Unfucking believable. I mean, the shit that's got to be completely reversed. Yeah, I posed this question on Twitter the other day for any constitutional scholars. Can the next president sign one executive order that rescinds all of Trump's executive orders? Fingers crossed, Joe Biden on day one go, I'm signing an executive order and this is going to reverse everything that Donald Trump did from executive orders.
I'm worried they're going to play nice and be all decorous. And
yeah.
That's so not the time for that. This is the time for like dungeons and thumbscrews.
Well, I guess the only response I got was that if it's challenged in court, it could get to the Supreme Court where they'll say, well, that EO that Biden signed is arbitrary and capricious, just like they were saying about. I think they said that about Trump's DACA executive order where he rescinded DACA. They said it was arbitrary and capricious. And so that might be the same thing. I don't know. I don't know what the legality is of signing one blanket EO to get rid of everything that Trump fucked up throughout these past 4 years. But, I mean, as far as I was concerned, there should be an EO that would eliminate everything, and then you ban EOs entirely. I mean, I think that needs to be the plan. I think you just take EOs off the fucking table. They are being abused now. we were headed in that direction. There have been, you know, systemic abuses throughout previous presidential administrations where they overreach a little bit with EOs. Now, Donald Trump has just completely careened through that wall like the Kool-Aid man. And he doesn't give a shit. Yeah, he's just making his own laws. He now officially thinks that the Supreme Court gave him the power to make his own laws. He's calling his EOs bills now.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to hate me at the end of this show. It's like, oh my God.
Stop it, Eeyore. Stop it. Stop it, Eeyore. Stop it.
I got to wash the dishes. Okay, what else is happening here? Trump tweeted congratulations to a QAnon conspiracy theorist who won the Republican nomination in Georgia's 14th congressional district runoff. Marjorie Taylor Greene has posted hours of racist, anti-Semitic, and Islamophobic videos on Facebook. Are you guys aware of Marjorie Taylor Greene down there?
I am.
It's like, and it's such a Republican district that she's probably going to get elected, and that's just horrifying.
Fuck.
It just, but...
Maybe they'll find some sort of closet for her like they do with the OAN reporter in the White House press room. Just stash her away in a box somewhere. Yes, we've provided you this refrigerator box in the basement for your office, Miss QAnon Freakazoid. Yeah, okay,
just
great.
Cracks me up as she says about Nancy Pelosi. She's like, we're going to run that bitch out of Congress. I'm like, oh, yeah, freshman honey? You think you're not even elected yet, and you're going to go up against Nancy motherfucking Pelosi?
By the way.
Who's been in office since 3 days before God laid the dart.
By the way, forgive my lack of protocol. It's Congresswoman Freakazoid, not Miss.
There you go.
Freakazoid.
That's true. Yeah, you've got to be more respectful.
That's right. I got to include the honorific before the Freakazoid.
Absolutely.
She's not elected yet.
Yeah, no, she is absolutely not. But I mean, I'm hypothesizing that if she is, they need to give her the shittiest office space in one of those office buildings on the Hill. I mean, just something just disgusting. Like like in Best in Show where they stick Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara in the closet with all of the cleaning supplies. Maybe that sort of thing.
Or down to Storage B.
Storage B. Where's your office, Congresswoman Freakazoid?
I'm in. Do you have your stapler with you, Congresswoman Freakazoid? You might need that.
My stapler. I love my stapler.
I need my stapler.
Okay. What else is going on? Is there anything? I mean, is there anywhere we can go other than this? Just start indiscriminately screaming.
Well, you know what's interesting with Sarah Palin?
Yeah.
Basically being very kind to Kamala Harris.
Really?
After the announcement. Yeah. She tweeted out, congratulations, Senator. Don't let them get you down. You know, you're on my shoulders. I mean, she did take some praise in mine and Geraldine Ferraro, which is not necessarily untrue.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit more Geraldine Ferraro than Sarah Palin. But I mean, she's more gracious about it than anybody else in the GOP. And to say that about Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I know.
It hurts my retina.
Yeah. my viscera are cringing.
Yeah, my eye is twitching at this point.
I start twitching and things, it's not good for my health and well-being.
Man,
because it's true. I mean, she was, you know, she was being very gracious.
Sort out her dosages, you know, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
12 years ago, next month, I believe it was, Sarah Palin, after her debate with Joe Biden, was asked on Fox News Channel what the definition of the vice president was. Because remember in the debate, she couldn't remember. She didn't know. She couldn't define what the role of the vice president was. So I think she was on Fox News Channel the next day where she was asked to describe. Yeah, to have her do it again.
One of the things you talked about last night was the flexibility that the vice presidency has.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
That thankfully our founders were wise enough to say we have this position and it's constitutional. Vice president will be able to be not only the position flexible, but it's going to be sort of those other duties as assigned by the president. A simple thing. I don't think that was a gaffe at all.
Yeah, it's a simple thing, right? Position flexible.
Say some buzzwords in grammatically incorrect ways.
I miss her.
I don't. Oh,
I do because she's not.
Stupidity of
she
that
was
woman.
Stupid, but
paved the way for President Word Salad.
No. Ronald Reagan paved the way for President Word Salad.
That's also true. Yeah, but I think Sarah Palin was the next paver in that paving.
Yes, she absolutely was a big one.
yes, I mean the vice presidency. The role of the vice president is position flexible. I mean that's what she said. I don't even know what
it's
position.
The constitution or the wisdom of our founding fathers. They had a constitutional position, which flexible and it enshrined in our values.
She can kick and she can stretch.
Our founders were wise enough to say we have this position and it's constitutional. Vice President will be able to be not flexible. Only the position flexible, but it's going to be sort of those other duties as
the Vice President will be able to be not only the position flexible.
Yes.
God damn it. It doesn't mean you can get your naughty monkey pumps behind your ears, Sarah.
Oh, man, yeah.
She can kick and she can stretch.
You know, I've been doing this thing. I've been doing this thing lately where I just start laughing uncontrollably at some of these news stories when they come down. In the evening, I should say, when we're watching MSNBC and Rachel's got some new, like, brain-melting scoop or something, or Lawrence O'Donnell's A-Block when he's doing those amazing commentaries. I just start like laughing and laughing, like Slim Pickens on the nuclear bomb at the end of Dr. Strangelove. That's where I am right now. Just like
you
laughing.
Can't fight in here. This is the war room.
God, but damn us.
Yeah, I was feeling
all.
Pretty bleak yesterday. I woke up yesterday and was just like so fucking sick of the pandemic. I'm so tired of it. Mm-hmm. I want to go somewhere. I want to hug people.
Yeah, I mean, again,
take a road trip.
I keep saying that we would be done. We'd be done by now if Donald Trump wasn't such a fuckwad. He just, I mean, at the initial height of the infection rate, he goes, liberate Michigan. Let's reopen now.
That's because he found out black and brown people were dying from it more than white folks.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's when that was really within 24 hours, all of a sudden, oh, since white folks aren't dying from it and young people aren't dying from it,
just
black, brown, and old people, let's forget about it. Let's not do anything because he's
utterly, utterly psychotic. Mm-hmm. Psychotic. It's tyranny. Staring.
I don't even think he's got the brain wattage to be psychotic. I just think he's just like a gerbil.
Yeah.
You know, he's just running on the wheel, trying to stay ahead of the disaster that's inevitably going to clap over his head.
Yep.
You know, it's just he's like a gambler that hit a bunch of losing streaks, and he's just trying to stay ahead of the ball now.
Well, shit. Well, if you want more of this happy, fun show.
This delightful commentary.
Fun.
Please join us on the Postmortem Show that's coming up next on our Patreon page. As soon as this music is done playing, we keep on talking and we call it the Postmortem Show. It's a mini show we do every Tuesday and Thursday for you on our Patreon page. So go and subscribe for $5 a month to get the Postmortem Show. If you want to sign up at $10 a month, you get the Postmortem Shows plus the Friday After Party with me and Kimberly Johnson's sex, drugs, rock and roll, and politics. Those are the topics every damn week, every damn Friday. Also, $15 a month to get you all that stuff, plus a commercial-free version of the Tuesday and Thursday shows. Thank you for doing that. Meanwhile, T-Rex David Ferguson's at patreon.com/the T-Rex Report. Jody Hamilton is at from-the-bunker.com, also at sexyliberal.com. And I've got some sexy liberal virtual tour information coming up on the Postmortem Show, so you want to listen for that. If you're not signed up on our Patreon page, you're missing out. Take care, folks. We'll see you over there. Bye-bye.